The views presented in this program may not reflect the views of the University of Connecticut, WHRS Radio, or the staff of the station. Some content may not be suitable for all audiences. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the first episode of Listening to Medical Minds. My name is Purna, and I'll be one of the hosts of the show.
My name is Anthony, and I'm also one of the hosts of the show.
And we're super excited to be here. All right, so let's start with introductions. Anthony, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. My name is Anthony. I'm a junior here at UConn. I'm a physiology and neurobiology major and also sociology. And I'm super excited about this podcast because I think bringing awareness for mental health within the medical community is something that's really overlooked and needs to be more spoken about today. How about you, Purna?
So my name is Purna, and I'm also a junior here at UConn. I'm actually in the special program in medicine, which is the 8-year combined BSMD program here. I have 3 majors. I'm a molecular and cell biology major, a pathobiology major, and I also have an individualized major in Asian arts, culture, and feminism. So yeah, also really excited to be here. I think having discussions about mental health and mental health struggles are really, really important. I don't think we have enough of them, and we definitely don't have enough in the medical community and the pre-medical community. So I'm excited to change that narrative and work towards overcoming that stigma, I guess. So before we actually get into the episode, I think it's important that we talk about where the podcast came from and the organization that we're a part of. So Anthony and I are both on the executive board of a club at UConn called Medical Minds Matter. And it's basically a volunteer-led startup nonprofit that is looking to transform the narrative of mental health in the medical field. Actually, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but there is a huge climate of silence surrounding mental health in the medical field in general. I mean, there's so many tangible examples of stigma in medicine, and there's so many stats to prove it. Like this one. In a 2017 study, 40% of physicians reported being reluctant to seek care for mental health. That's a huge number of physicians that aren't seeking help when they're clearly going through it. And I mean, I think it's also becoming a bigger narrative now. The whole idea of physician burnout. I think that's where the first sort of discussion of mental health and medicine started. But I think it starts like even before that. It starts
in pre-med, to be honest.
It really does.
College is crazy, and I think that a lot of people don't know how to navigate it.
But it's something that I think we all experience collectively. Like, I know from my conversations with friends that mental health is something that we all struggle with, especially because medicine is such a long and hard journey. But I think the more that we can support each other and talking about it, the better that we can make our community. So yeah, that's a little introduction as to what Medical Minds Matter is. And I know here at UConn, our chapter is focused on supporting our community of pre-med students, just giving them a space to come talk, to feel like their voice is being heard, to be in the presence of other students who are going through similar struggles. And I think on the national level, there are a lot more moving parts as well. There are a lot of different initiatives that people can get involved in. So yeah, if you're listening and if you are interested in getting involved, follow our Instagram, Medical Minds Matter, and our chapter here at UConn is MMM_UConn. And we would love to have you.
So in today's episode, we're going to be talking about mental health during COVID. Probably one of the strangest times that we've ever encountered in our lives. We've all experienced things, felt things that we might not have shared before because it's been such a trying time. And also we're still kind of getting out of that.
Yeah, I mean, we're living in it now. We're living in history. So as the pandemic goes by and it waxes and wanes, we're still going through these struggles and we're still, I think, trying to figure out how to talk about them as we go through them and as we process them. So let's start at the beginning of the pandemic. I think a good place to start is chronologically. It's at the start of all of this, March 13th, 2020.
The date and everything.
You know, I have to remember.
Of course. The next day was supposed to be Pi Day, and literally I was going to go to Blaze and then get my $3.14 pizza, and it never happened because everything closed. And I was like, where's my Blaze?
I remember that week was midterms week, and I was taking microbio, and the exam that we had just taken like a couple weeks back, our professor would always ask us questions on like a news article or like something that was happening out in the world. She literally asked us about COVID, and at the time we didn't know anything about it. It was just a foreign virus, and then And then during that week, we were studying for midterms, and I was studying for my microbiome midterm, and it became reality that we weren't coming back.
That we were living in a pandemic.
That we were doing it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that first lockdown, I think that's the first time that so many of us had to be inside for that long. Like, that's the first time you've ever had to, like, seriously quarantine. And it's also so strange because when you're in college, you're constantly with your friends. Like, you see your friends all the time.
That's part of the experience.
It's part of the experience. You live with them, you eat with them, you go to class with them. I think that's one of the best things about it. And then all of a sudden to, like, be completely deprived of that, I don't know, for me, it was really hard. Even as someone who's kind of an introvert and who enjoyed some of quarantine, like being alone and taking the time to think for myself, I still really, really miss my friends. And it was so isolating, like being by myself like that in my childhood bedroom, like the source of all of my trauma. I don't know, it was very strange, I would say, like the first month or two.
No, I think I also like had a very hard time like transitioning back from college, going back home, being by myself for so long, and I don't know, it just took, for me, like a toll on me. I just, there would be days where, you know, you just don't know what to do, and then, I don't know, I would just like watch movies all day, kind of just relax and stuff like that, but that kept going and going for like months, and I was just like, what am I doing? Like, of course, like there was a school year and everything like that, but I don't know, that it just didn't feel real, you know, like with virtual classes.
I mean, there was so much that went into it. There was one, like our professors had never had to do online school before, so half of them gave up and half of them didn't really know how to navigate it properly. So that was like one part of it, was that how much could like professors adapt that quickly and how well that reflected on our learning experience. And also at the time it was like, how much could we adapt to that? Because I'm not the kind of person that can learn online, or at least it took me a long time to learn how to learn online. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think everyone was so caught up in the pandemic that no one really paid attention to school. And it was such a stretch to like be able to pick up my laptop and look at it to actually do work.
Yeah, and I think like going through hard classes like STEM classes, especially during freshman year, and like, I don't know, I had like some kind of like motivation and also some kind of encouragement from like my friends. We would always do like study groups and stuff like that. When things became online, I don't know, things just like started to drift away.
For me, I think a lot of it was like there was no distinction between like your break and your studying. All of us, We were stuck in our rooms or stuck in our houses. So where you eat and where you sleep is the same place as where you study and do work. And when those lines are blurred, like you don't really realize how important it is to like have those distinctions.
Yeah, that's an important thing, because I think like distinguishing where you sleep and like where you're studying, like that's always been an important thing for me, because I'll just like sleep on my bed if I'm studying.
I think we all will.
I think I'll just sleep on my bed. So I have to go to the library, some other space. But when we were all like enclosed into like different spaces, like libraries weren't open, you couldn't study there. And there were just a lot where you weren't able to fully find like a place for yourself to truly like concentrate, I feel like.
Yeah, just a constant cycle of like waking up and rotating between my desk and my bed and my desk and my bed and my desk and my bed, which were 2 feet apart. And when I didn't feel like going to my desk, I would be in my bed on my laptop. And when you never give yourself that space between the two, between like working and resting, you always feel like you should be working. You never feel like you're doing enough, because all the time you're thinking, I could be using this time to work. But at the same time, you're so burnt out from online classes that you don't have anything in you left to work. So I know that was a huge thing that I struggled with, was like finding that motivation. Even just to like finish out like, I don't know, 1 month of school was so difficult.
Yeah,
so then that was the first semester. And then moving on to the summer, I don't know, like it's so weird when you're pre-med, because you constantly like feel the pressure to like be doing something and like to be building your resume. Mm. But it's so strange when, one, you don't have any motivation to do it, and two, there's literally, you can't, because it's not safe enough for you to do it. And I remember like sitting in my bed and being like, I know there are thousands of other students that are like doing something right now, that are doing something meaningful with their time, that are like building up their resumes and like contributing to their community or like doing something pre-med related. And I don't know where to look and I don't know what to do. And I think, I don't know if it was a good way to start, but that's how I got into emergency medicine. And it was because I sort of felt that need that I got my EMT license that summer. And I'm really grateful like that I got to do it. And I love being an EMT now. But I don't know, I feel like that's not really discussed. It's like, you can never really take a break when you're pre-med. It's, you can always be doing something more. You should never.
Always applying for something.
Always applying for something.
Some kind of scholarship or grant or something like that. I mean, for me, I did a lot of research during that time. I had a good experience with my lab and I still continue today over there. But again, it's the same mentality. Like, I felt like if anything that I was going to be sitting around during the summer, I might as well like be doing something. And I don't know, I feel like during that time, I also like didn't really look introspectively into myself and say like, oh, are you like taking care of yourself, doing well for yourself, and also just making sure that you're making the decisions that are best for you. And I think that was an important thing that I wish that I asked myself.
Yeah, like it was just second nature at that point to be like, when you have this chunk of time, like, oh, there's something I should be doing with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember all of my friends like scrambling to find labs or like find internships or something to do.
Remember everybody started to like e-shadow like doctors online? Like, that was a very big thing. And I was just like, I didn't like it because like it was such a, I don't know, it's a virtual experience. So like, it's really like, you can't really connect with the doctor and everything, but I mean, like, it's the same mentality. Just keep doing something.
Keep doing something, keeping yourself busy. And while that works for some people, like, I also had to take a lot of time and be like, I might never get this kind of time back. Like this much free time to do something.
Yeah.
And I wish like I could have taken more time like for myself and to like discover other things. Yeah, I guess that's the end of that sentence.
I mean, I would go to the gym every day, but that's just like that's a me thing. I wish that I like had also done something else, maybe like reintroduce myself into like my love for tennis.
I know you said you went to the gym. I also started I didn't go to the gym, but I started running. Like, that was a huge thing that I did for my mental health. And I've never been a runner. Okay, I hated running all of my life. And it was the only thing that like I was able to do like out in the open that was available to me, and I started doing it, and I never would have like imagined myself doing it otherwise. So then moving on to the fall semester, fall 2020, I think it was a lot different than what we were used to in the spring, because the spring was like kind of haphazard, like no one really knew what was happening. But by this point, like, teachers had sort of figured out the online format, and we actually had like a lot of structure to our classes. So I think it was an entirely new monster to beat. I don't know, what did you think?
I also think so. For a lot of my classes, I like, some teachers would have like printouts and stuff like that that you just like grab at the beginning of your class. So it was hard for me to like learn sometimes, just because I'd be like, oh, I didn't have time today to like pick up the notes, so I should just like type electronically. So it took me a lot of like time in order to like find that balance between like physical and electronic. But it still took me a long time, and I doubt that other people didn't have like the same experience. Also, like, I was on campus during the fall. I lived in Worth Tower as a resident assistant. So fun for the H2O community, because we were all sophomores at the time, and I would be talking to them about how their classes were going, and everybody like struggled through that. That time in order to like find that motivation and also find that discipline. But it was good that a lot of people were on the floor that were experiencing the same thing, because they all talked about it. I would see like people in the lounges, and we would have conversations about like, oh, you can do this test, like, you got that. And it was really like a really good environment for us to kind of grow from.
Your experience was different because you were able to be on campus, but I chose to be at home for the fall semester. And I don't know if that's a choice that I entirely regret or not regret. It was just, it required a lot of discipline, more than motivation, which I was very much lacking. It was a lot of discipline and a lot of time management to be able to like get all of my work done. Because when it's completely online, you have to like set your own schedule and like set up your own time to like do work. Otherwise, theoretically, you never have to do it. Like, you never have to go to class, right? Because it's always recorded. I mean, it was good. Like, it taught me a lot in terms of, again, like time management and discipline. But by the end of the semester, I was completely burnt out from it. Like, I had so little left within me to like give to that. Like I said before, there's no separation between like your bed and like your work. So you have to set that boundary, and that requires a lot of like self-control. And I think the same thing sort of like happened in the spring as well in terms of academics. I think by then I'd figured out, you know, my classes, how to do online school. And I was like in a groove in terms of like getting my work done. I think it was really stressful both fall and spring semesters for me, because it was another pressure that like, because we had online school, I felt the need to like take more classes than I usually do. It was like, oh, there's a lot more flexibility in terms of my life. I don't have to like dedicate this much time to like living or existing, that I can take, pile on a bunch of classes. So I think for both semesters, I ended up taking like 21 or 22 credits. Mm-hmm. And I did fine. Like I made it through, but I don't know. I felt that pressure. Like, again, the need to like fill your time with something so you're not being unproductive.
Yeah. I mean, from fall to spring semester, I also think I was taking 21 credits. And I thought that I needed to like show myself that I could take on that load, because like coming out of the last semester where I took a few less, like I think one or two less classes, because I wanted to like kind of get back into the groove of things, like especially with school, becoming an RA, and like a lot of responsibilities on campus. So I thought that by spring semester I'd be like kind of chill with all the responsibilities that I had, but in reality I think that I was struggling for a little bit. Like, there was a big struggle in terms of how I dealt with a lot of the tasks that I had, and I'd be pushing myself a lot in order to do those things, because I thought that by not doing them, I would be essentially like kind of letting somebody down and also letting myself down. So,
like, I remember we would go to the gym at like 6 a.m. for 2 hours, and then we would come back, and then I would have to like force myself to stay awake for the entire day.
Sometimes I would take a nap. I'm not gonna lie.
For me, like, napping became a thing where I was like, for me, napping always felt unproductive. Mm-hmm. So I would push myself through it. I would like take another scoop of pre-workout, or like caffeinate myself, or do something to like get out of that. And living in an apartment, like in college, yes, it's like a huge transition, but like if you have a dining hall plan, like it's easy, because mm-hmm. you just go to a dining hall and like you get your meals. But living in an apartment, you have to like make your own meals, and like I think making food and like remembering to eat was also a huge thing that I had to like learn how to navigate. Because I felt like those were also like waste of time. Like, I felt like taking the time to like make myself a meal was like unproductive. And if I wasn't like listening to a lecture during that time, or like doing something else, then I was being unproductive. But when in doing that, I was just never present at all. And like looking back on the spring semester, I don't even remember half of it, because I wasn't present for most of it. I was in my work constantly thinking about the next thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going back to like what you said, I mean, even with the dining hall plan, I was also struggling to like get to meals, because it would just be like, so it would be time consuming to just like walk to a dining hall, get food, and just like, I never really took that time for myself. I could have just been like eating food and like listening to music. So I think one of those things was that I struggled to find time for myself, and also to get in what I needed for my own health.
Okay, so we spent a good amount of the episode talking about all the struggles that we faced during COVID.
Yeah.
But let's focus on the positive. Let's end on a positive note. And let's talk about some of the good things that have happened since we've moved back into person on campus this semester. And I can start. I have forgotten how good it is to like have a life, you know, like to exist as a person, like beyond your bedroom. Just like to be able to wake up and like have a place to go is so fulfilling. Like being able to like wake up and be like, you know what, I can shower today, I can brush my teeth, I can eat a meal, I can dress nice, look like a person, and like go somewhere and do something. For me, that's been like revolutionary, a revolutionary concept. But I think that's been one of the best parts of the semester, is like being able to feel like my life sort of has purpose again as a student. And like being able to find things that I'm able to do during the day.
I think for me, a few positives. I think I found like more passions and more grinds for my life. I've always been like a big tennis person, but I've also wanted to like branch out into other sports. So I got really into basketball, started playing more at the rec. If you see me there, hit me up. But I found like more, I guess, more moments for myself in order to like feel that I'm accomplishing something that's outside of academics. This semester has shown me a lot of that. And it's also shown me a lot of how I've been able to really trust like a lot of people in my life in terms of just accepting their help and also becoming like a better friend for them.
Yeah, I mean, going off of that, I think those are the best friendships to have, especially when you're like going through something like college. And when we're all going through this sort of time, like I guess this trial period of what it is to be a person and like go back to school in person. I think like having those friendships is really important. I think the semester definitely has taught me like to be grateful for my friends, and like without your friends and without a support system, you really don't have anything. And it's, you really can't do it alone. Like, you can't do life alone. You can't do school alone. You definitely can't do pre-med alone.
If you do, it's tough. It's really tough. All right. That's all the time that we have for today. Thank you guys so much for listening to us. If you want to learn more about Medical Minds Matter, you can go to medicalmindsmatter.org, or you can follow our national organization on Instagram at Medical Minds Matter, or you can follow the UConn chapter at MMM_UConn. If you're a student at UConn Stores, definitely pull up to our general body meetings that happen from 7 to 8 every other Thursday.
But yeah, I think that's it. Until next time, I'm Purna.
I'm Anthony.
And you're listening to Medical Minds.